Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, emotion worker, and vacation taker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Hank. I think I'm a vacation taker, but I don't take the grand vacations that I think people associate with the term vacation. But I definitely am good at the mental vacations piece of it, getting that break, that detachment from my day-to-day. And yeah, I like that. I like that moniker, vacation taker, because there's a lot of mental health benefits to taking vacations. We're going to talk about today. How about you? Are you consider yourself a vacation taker?
Not recently, but yeah, I don't know if you're on Facebook. Oh, I know you are, but they've been doing something recently where they shoot a picture at you that was taken, you know, 2 years ago today. You posted this picture, and I got one this morning of me 2 years ago today. I was on a cruise ship at the pool holding a big frosty glass of beer. Oh, and that was the last vacation I took, but it was a big one.
And so does the memories of that vacation sustain you, or do you find yourself, you know, needing that break?
It sustains me for a bit. I'm about ready for another one at this point. It's been 2 years since I took any sort of out-of-town vacation, so it's time.
But, of course, you do the music festival, right, Live Oak, which maybe is a working vacation. But
yeah,
that's...
I enjoy myself there. So, yeah, it's kind of both, little work, little play.
Yeah. And I also think part of the idea of vacationing is our mental attitude about what we're doing at the time. Like, I think that we don't recognize times that we actually are vacationing because we associate it with getting on a plane or getting on a ship or, you know, getting on a train. I'm doing something that involves a lot of navigating. But vacationing really is a state of mind that we can get ourselves into at any time that we need that break. We're just not conditioned to, we're not taught to. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you for tuning in to this conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we'll invite you to be part of this conversation coming up. Our number is 805-781-3875. As always, we get together on Tuesdays at 2 to talk about those things that matter in our lives, things that are going on in our community, things that are going on with our mental health and well-being. And you can be part of the conversation also by joining us on our Facebook page. We do have one, The Reluctant Therapist. We have a website, thereluctanttherapist.com, and you can always email me at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can listen to previous shows. You can podcast them or download them or stream them at kcbx.org. We're under the News and Talk tab right at the top there. So many ways to be part of the program and to kind of build our community here on the Central Coast. And so there are some reasons why I was inspired by the topic for today. One is I thought we'd go a little light. You know, I thought it's time to maybe lighten the load a little bit on our mental health. We tend to talk about really serious topics here, which are great and important. I think, you know, it's also important to balance out our conversations about our mental health and well-being. And so I thought, you know, let's talk about those summer vacation plans and what you're going to do to give yourself a little break from your day-to-day. And for some people, that's a grand adventure to Europe. For some people, that's a staycation in their own hometown, going and being a tourist at all the wonderful activities in the place that we live. And sometimes we fail to participate or notice or take part in. But vacation in some sort, no matter how it is you define it, it's important to make a date to take time away from your day-to-day. So I thought that would be a fun thing to talk about. And one, because I'm in the midst of organizing all of the family vacation plans, which I think, you know, maybe it's because I'm the emotion worker in the family. I sit in that center square of having to organize our plans. Maybe it's because I'm the one that always wants to go do something, and so everyone just waits for me to come up with a plan. But I'm in that space of booking flights and thinking about dates and trying to arrange activities. And so I thought I would join, I'd have you join me in this conversation today and talk about your own vacation plans or maybe your own most memorable vacations in your family and how that impacted you. And because it's funny, in doing the research for the show, Of course, it's a lot of articles, a lot of professional research that's been done, scientific research about the mental health benefits of vacations and how important it is to detach from the day-to-day, to break free from the stress that we all experience. And it's funny, you might not even feel like you're stressed. You might know, and Hank feels like his job is pretty relaxing. He comes in, hangs out on the radio, chats with people. You might not feel that they're stressed, but anything we do daily has a level of stress to it, because there is stress in the details of having to meet deadlines, of having to show up someplace, of having to make decisions regarding your household. You know, even anything we do on a regular basis has some level of stress to it, because routine in our lives creates this sense of kind of burden or stress. And so it's important to take a break away from our day-to-day to get perspective. So there's a lot of information that supports the need for a breakaway from our day-to-day. But the thing that I also found a little disconcerting was there's almost equally as much information out there about the negative aspects of vacationing, about the fear and anxiety people feel about taking time away from work. And I don't know if that's something that you can relate to, but you know, for some people, there's a real sense of, if I leave for a week or if I leave for 2 weeks, they'll notice that they don't need me around work anymore. Or, you know, I will become dispensable. Or I won't be able to catch up when I come back. I don't know if that's something that you relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. Both that and the other side of the coin, where you're ending up having to work while you're on vacation.
Right.
Bring your laptop, find an online hotspot, and, you know, remote in and do things that need to get done.
Right. And so being able to really check out becomes kind of a more of a burden. And so that makes me sad to think that there's just as much research talking about the anxiety and fear of leaving work, missing work, guilt about traveling. If your coworkers can't afford, you know, you did that beautiful, Hank did this beautiful trip on a cruise, and, you know, then you're embarrassed to talk about how great it was if other people are struggling, you know, just to pay their bills and you've done this great trip. We also, you know, a lot of research about the lack of paid vacation. 25% of our workforce doesn't have any paid vacation. You know, there is no law mandating paid vacation. There's no law in the books. Unlike every other country besides Canada and Japan and the U.S., which has mandatory at least 20 hours of paid vacation a year, our country has no mandatory paid vacation. So really, any paid vacation you get is out of the goodness of your employer's hearts. So for 25% of the people, there is no time to get away because they aren't allowed it. Also, there's research talking about families that kind of dread being alone with their family members, or they don't want to be with their spouse. So they end up going on trips with other people because they don't like that time alone. It's stressful for them. And then finally, research about the overwhelm in having to plan the vacation, in having a schedule of making it happen. So in doing the research of something fun and light about vacations, I see, we have a balance issue here. We have the fun and joy that some people experience on vacation balanced with the anxiety and fear and guilt other people feel when it comes to their own vacations. So we're going to explore that a bit today. And you are welcome to join the conversation. I'd love to know, what's your most memorable family vacation? Or do you avoid vacations because of anxiety, guilt, fear, the stress of going on vacation? What keeps you from getting out there and breaking up your routine? 805-781-3875 is a number to be a part of this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Paul, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hey there.
Hi.
I like vacations, but I find myself, probably like a lot of people, very, very busy and unable to carve out a bunch of time for that. I also promote a lot of live music around here on the Central Coast, and I find people get a lot of temporary vacation-like relief by going and checking out live music around here.
That's a great point. You know, that anything we do that detaches us from our day-to-day really is good for us. And what's some of your favorite places to see live music?
I host a bunch of the music out in Los Osos at the Sea Pines Golf Resort and down in Baywood Park at the Back Bay Inn and the Back Bay Cafe. But I also help out some of the other major venues, like the Performing Arts Center and Vina Robles, Santa Barbara Bowl, Avila Beach Concerts.
So you're very, very busy.
There's just tons of it.
And so when it comes to your own vacation time, like carving that out, what prevents you from going? Is it just the compact nature of your schedule, or is it the hassle of planning the vacation? Or do you feel like you live on vacation?
No, it's I actually tend to lead a very busy life, and I'm very fortunate that my wife will organize vacations and do all the planning and get me out of town every once in a while. So I really appreciate it, but it's tough for me to actually do the planning.
Well, it sounds like my house then. there has to be a calendar keeper in the family, right?
Yeah, no, she does a fantastic job.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Paul. And it's a great reminder to get out and see live music and take that staycation in our own area by getting out and seeing something live and new and maybe unexpected. Thanks for calling in, Paul.
All right, thanks.
And so what is it about vacations? You know, let's start off with the mental health piece. And why is it that we need vacations? Okay. Basics, I talked about stress, that we all experience it, and it becomes a buildup sort of thing that our body, you know, can deal with stress for so long, but it's kind of a silent thing that builds up over a period of time where our blood pressure starts to sneak up on us. Our risk for heart disease sneaks up on us over years and years. You know, it's one of those things where might not feel it today. You might not feel it next year. You might be able to go a couple years, but when we look at our life on a continuum or on a spectrum, you know, years and years of not taking breaks, of not stepping away from the stress and pressures has dire consequences, that we see this buildup of stress physically and mentally. And unfortunately, usually it's by the time it's too late, or not too late, but things have become dire in our health and well-being, that we finally say, wow, I need to take a vacation. And quite often it's when a doctor finally says, you need to take a vacation, you now have a prescription to go out, that we finally do. So stress is one piece. The other piece of this is how important it is for our relationships to take time away from the day-to-day. Because although we are living together, right, maybe you're living with your family, or you just live with your spouse or your significant other, and you feel like, well, we're together every day, so we don't need to go somewhere. The thing that's interesting is that we tend to spend less than 20 minutes a day actually having intimate conversations with those in our family. And for some couples, they have less than 20 minutes a week of intimate conversation. That most of the conversations end up being something about, you know, picking up kids or picking up groceries or doing chores. You know, we don't focus in on that intimate part, that part of communicating and experiencing that builds depth in our relationships. And so when couples and families get into trouble, right, when they start to feel distance or alienated, or couples wonder why the intimacy has gone out or their communication is lacking, or maybe their sex life has fallen off, maybe families are having a lot of conflict or their kids are really disinterested. And of course, we're trying to compete with screens all the time, which are a momentary feeling of vacation every time we numb out or tune in. So we're competing with a lot of things for attention to our relationships. And so vacations are one of those opportunities where we actually step away and spend time together, quality time together. And the thing that's funny is that some of the best family vacation memories are those memories when things went totally awry, when things did not go as planned. And those can sustain you also. You know, in order for relationships to be strong and healthy, you have to build new experiences. You have to build shared experiences. You have to build memories. No relationship can sustain just on the day-to-day grind of bumping into each other over dinner or bumping into each other on the way to practice. You know, that is not building or nurturing relationships. That's just kind of life maintenance. So we really have to, like, we carve out the time for exercise, if you do that, or carve out the time to go to your doctor appointments or get your physical. We have to carve out that time where we detach from the day-to-day and get new perspectives to build new experiences with each other. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I brought up the topic of vacationing and why it's important. And do you do it? Do you have any favorite memories? You're welcome to join the conversation, 805-781-3875. Molly, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Molly. What's on your mind today?
Okay, well, your topic made me think about how... So I'm a freshman in college now. I haven't seen my family in like 5 months. Mm. And this summer, we're going to be going to the Redwoods in Northern California. to kind of revamp a tradition that we've had all my life of going to the Redwoods for a week in the summer as a family. We drive up there. It's like a 10-hour drive, and then we stay there for a week. And how those, when I look back on my childhood at home, though that week in the Redwoods without distractions and without technology was pretty much the most valuable experiences that I had with my family, and the most, like I felt the most connected to not only them, but to nature, and just the most connected in general to the world around me, and how that was has always been really valuable to me looking back. And I'm really excited to revamp it this summer and get back together with my family.
So did it take going away to college for this last year for you to appreciate that time away, or did you always appreciate that trip?
I think after being away from home for the first year and actually being an adult, I've come to appreciate it a lot more, and appreciate that family time, and to just be able to step away and be in an environment where I feel completely supported and just be with my family for a week. Definitely, I've come to appreciate it more, I think.
Beautifully said, Molly. And I'm excited to have you home for the summer.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Claire, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Well, the fact that vacation just isn't fun.
Okay.
You get to do all the work if you go camping, or you get to plan it, or you have to pay for it, or when you come home, you have to unpack and do all the laundry. And if you stay home, then you just get to see that big pile of things you never get to. Work is the least stressful place in my life, and I think that's probably true for a lot of women. Why would we want to go on vacation unless it was by ourselves to a spa? Not that we don't love our families, but you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I mean, and I talked about at the top of the show that I am the keeper of the calendar. So, yes, if vacations happen, it falls on me. And I think that's why I took to planning vacations that, you know, at least I knew it was the same job, but a different location. I think that's where I got to at some point when my kids were younger, that, you know, I thought, well, my job is going to be the same whether I'm at home or on vacation. So at least I can be washing clothes or making dinner in a new surroundings with a different perspective.
Oh, how far we have sunk.
That becomes the highlight. But then it's funny because you have Molly who calls in, and her greatest memories of her childhood are that week in the woods with her parents. And you and I both know that her mom probably was doing all the cooking and schlepping all the camping gear up there and making sure it all happened. And yet as a mom, when I hear a college student call in and say that, I think, okay, I can do another trip of hauling the food, because that's why I'm a parent. I want these memories to sustain my children.
Yeah, I used to love those sorts of things until I realized it is just a totally different thing as an adult than it is for a kid. And I don't have a young child that I have to worry about nurturing that way. So now I can be selfish and just say, this isn't fun for me.
And so what kind of vacation is fun?
Oh, God, sit on a balcony with fresh squeezed orange juice in bathrobes with a great view and someone to bring me room service and a massage in the room. Free.
Here, here, Claire. Here, here.
Never thought of it. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can join our conversation 805-781-3875. Kimberly, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi, I just wanted to note that vacation is about recreation, and that recreation is about recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I step away and I'm on vacation, I come back refreshed and with a different perspective on things. It's like it recreates myself. Mm-hmm. Time away makes me tune into myself and appreciate the simple things again. I mean, even just being outside, and because I used to work three jobs, and I am really ground down. I need a vacation, but right now I can't afford it, and I wish I could take one.
Well, and you bring up a really important part, Kimberly, and when I was doing the research on this, talking about, you know, needing, every person needs vacation. They need the time to recreate, to gain perspective, to tune back into themselves. But we as a culture don't really support that. And that's one of the things I find so ironic, is that we consistently read about, you know, how important it is to take care of our mental and physical health, and that, you know, our country has wellness campaigns, and they talk talk about the need to get away, and yet there is no legislation or no policies that support the actual taking of time away.
Yeah, it's really important, and I really feel that I shortchanged myself for working two and three jobs for the past 15 years. I look back, the time's gone, my health is all eroded, and I can't handle stress anymore. And I'm in dire need of a vacation. So I heard that there are different cultures that have a less stressful way of life, like this yoga person on the internet. She moved to the Philippines and lives on the beach, and that's just where she lives. And, you know, there are different countries with different ways of doing things, and I think that the U.S. is certainly money-driven, and, you know, I think that the need for money is like a secondary need, but we've lost track of the initial need of just being peaceful and being happy. I think we've kind of lost it, and we work to live. We don't work to live. Now we work so much that we live to work, at least I do. And it's terrible. I think that our society's got it all backwards, and I think I really, frankly, did myself a huge disservice by working so much during the past, and I need to make a change.
I can hear that in your voice, Kimberly, because you sound tired and you sound disappointed and a bit defeated that you were doing what you were told, right, is what you're supposed to do, work as hard as you can, right, put that money away, and it'll all pay off at some point. That was that was the myth, and now you're here.
And now it's like my hands are empty, essentially, now, and my kids are grown up, and the time's gone, and... But I just wanted to tell you that I know I don't want to stay on the air too long. I just thought it was interesting that the word recreation includes the word recreate.
Absolutely. And I do love looking at the pieces of words that we sometimes overlook, because the same token, the word disease, if you break it down, means we are ill at ease, or, you know, ill at ease in our lives, and that if we can find a way to find ease again, that disease will go away. So the recreation of our life will help us to prevent or reduce disease. And while I have you, Kimberly, while you're still there, you know, that opportunity to recreate, if we can't afford vacations or everything's costly or we need a break, there's a program called Woofing, W-O-O-F. You can find it online. It's Willing Work on Organic Farms or Work.
Oh.
And this is a program that's all over the world. It's all over the United States. We have them in California. And you exchange 4 hours of work for room and board on different farms or places anywhere in the world you can go. There's sheep ranches. I've had students who've gone to Italy and done the grape crush and lived in a castle. I've had a student who lived in Sacramento and worked on a farm and worked 4 hours a day. And that might be something for someone who doesn't have the money to go on a paying vacation, to be able to get away, to recreate, to breathe the air, to get their hands dirty. And it might be a source that you might want to look into, just as a way to break it up.
I mean, it's work, but, you know, working with the hands can be meditative. You know, you can be thinking of something else while you're working.
Absolutely. And it's a change of pace. It's a different perspective. And from everyone I've talked to, the 4 hours that you give is a pittance compared to the opportunity to live and be someplace else and have your room and board covered. And I just take a moment and look it up. W-O-O-F. It's online. And I appreciate
you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you taking the time to call. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I started the show talking about vacations. I thought it would be a light conversation. But as I was doing my research into, you know, what makes a good family vacation, why it's important for individuals to get away, I started finding just as much research talking about the anxiety about leaving to go on trips, why people leave so much unclaimed paid vacation that, you know, just kind of stacks makes up? Why do we dread getting out of town because of all the work? You know, there's almost as much information and research against the vacation mentality as there is pro-vacation mentality. So I'm wondering what you think about that. Do you have any fond vacation memories? Or what are you planning for this summer? Or do you need a little nudge? Because I'm hoping that this conversation nudges and inspires you to think about how you can detach from the day-to-day, have that vacation. And even if that vacation is just a state of mind, where we tune out, check out, take a day or two away from our routine and find a new perspective. Because we really can't reduce stress. We really cannot gain a new perspective unless we do physically detach from what we tend to do day in and day out. And you're welcome to be part of this conversation. 805-781-3875. Julie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I was listening to your program. I love it so much. And I was just calling because I agree with a number of things that some of the gals are saying, and including you. One of the things is that, yes, I think the United States is really backwards in its views on work and free time. And I think in a lot of regards, it's considered that you're goofing off if you aren't working, if you take a vacation, that somehow we're just not entitled to do that. So that was one thing. Economically, I think, yeah, it's really a struggle for a lot of people to go on vacation, including myself. I always worry, like, how will I pay for this? I'm self-employed, so how will I not get the money that I'm going to lose by being gone and be able to go on vacation? And then the other gal was talking about doing all the work, and that's me. It's like I have to do everything and prepay all the bills and organize. And it's so much work to just get ready to go on the vacation that at a certain point you just sort of think, do I really want to do this? And I want to, but sometimes I also think, well, maybe I'll just pretend I'm going on vacation and just stay home, because then I don't have to at least do all the work of getting ready to go.
The stress of getting ready to go.
The stress of getting ready to go. And the stress of getting back and having to pick up where I left off and put all the pieces back together. And I know it's all kind of ridiculous, and I used to travel a lot when I was young. And on my 50th birthday, my husband and I took 30 days and went to Europe, and it was fabulous. But we haven't been back since. It's been like 6 years. And we just haven't planned the vacation, partly because I'm going to have to be the one to do it.
Right. No, I agree.
So anyway, you can comment off air or whatever.
Well, no, I mean, it's so interesting because that sense of having to come back and pick up, I don't know about you, but I clean my way out of my house so that when I come home after vacation, it looks fresh. There's nothing I hate more than walking into my house after being gone and having to be a mess. So I definitely, that part of having to clean my way out. And my husband laughs because getting care for the animals when you go is as stressful as getting babysitters, you know, when the kids were young. I mean, there is all of the logistics that go into doing these things. And so I guess then we get to the point, do we have to weigh, you know, the advantages, the memories, like the 30 days you and your husband spent, how that built your relationship and those memories and that foundation, right? That's priceless.
Oh, yeah, and we're desperate for that. I mean, we need that in the worst way. But it's weird, too, because as I get older, I find myself worrying about things I never would have worried about in the past, like what if I have a water leak while I'm gone? Like, that never would have crossed my mind. I find that my stress level and my worry level has gone way up of what if this breaks, what if that has, especially if I'm leaving the country. You know, things like that. So this is definitely a tough dilemma.
I know. And here I thought when I walked in today, I told Jordan, we're just going to talk about vacations. It's going to be a fun day. And then here we are. There's a lot to it. And I appreciate you calling.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a good day, bye. Julie. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And, you know, I don't want anyone to run away from the idea of vacationing, because it's interesting. There is so much that goes into it. And as Julie was talking, I started thinking about all the things I needed to organize before I leave to go away. And it's funny, my husband and I had a trip planned. Our 30th anniversary is coming up in a week. And so we had a trip planned. We were going to take off and kind of go on a sentimental journey. And then another trip came up that we're going to be doing. And I'm going to talk about both of them, so I'm not going to pre-talk about them now. But I have another kind of exciting event happening in June that I'm going to. And so all of a sudden, the idea that we were doing two trips back to back, I thought, oh no, I don't know if I want to do two back to back. So we've like condensed them down to one trip because of the stress of having to organize and get away. But we're still getting away. And I think that's the key point, is to remind ourselves, why is it that we need to get away? Why is it that we need to deal with the stresses that we feel in our life? And again, you might not think that you're under a lot of stress because you get to a certain point where you're living at such a high energy level, such a high pace day in and day out, that you don't even remember what it's like to tune it off, to tune it out, to get back to a sense of just yourself. And I've noticed that for clients who've come in the past and talked about stress and the feeling of anxiety and the feelings of depression, a lot of these experiences are linked to becoming almost afraid of being alone, of stepping away from work. They've become so conditioned to getting up and having the same thing to do every day that the idea of not doing that causes them anxiety or fear, that they are so routine that they don't know how to just relax, how to just be alone with their thoughts, to read a book, to slow down. And if you can relate to that, I understand, because that's the conditioning we have in our culture, to keep ourselves so busy that we never have to think about anything that might be distressing or disturbing. But that's precisely why we need to vacation, because the richest part of our life experience really is in finding that sound, that voice, that peace within ourselves. And that's what the vacationing is about, is to get back in touch with who we are, to get back in touch with those we love, and to reduce the stress that's going to shorten our life. Ultimately, it's going to take its toll on our health, on our mental health. There's a British researcher, Scott Meeb, who did a very extensive study about the benefits of taking a break from stress and vacationing, about the benefits of broadening your horizons, expanding your curiosity, looking for new opportunities to learn, the opportunity to promote peace by getting to know other people and other cultures, personal and social development, the benefits of visiting friends. And he found that the mental health and physical benefits were so profound that he felt financial assistance should be made available by the government to ensure that those who couldn't afford vacations had the opportunity. So what do you think about that? What do you think about this topic? Family vacations, what are your favorite memories? What are some of your tougher memories? Be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We'll be back to take your calls.
You're listening to A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist here on Public Radio KCBX. The number to call today with your comments or questions is 805-781-3875.
So one of the things that I asked at the top of the show is for you to share some of your fondest family vacation memories. And I'm always curious, you know, what my girls' fondest family vacation memories are. And so I sent them a text before the show, and my older daughter, Kirsten, immediately wrote back and said one of my funniest memories, and I don't know if my husband will appreciate it as much, but one of her favorite memories is sitting on a beach in Lake Tahoe, and we were just camping up there. And my husband was very busy with things at work and a lot of deadlines at the time, so he was kind of multitasking a little bit. He was trying to do a couple hours of work, you know, every day to stay on top of it, which, you know, when we look at the trade-offs with vacations, that it's okay to do a little work on vacation for an hour or two if it's going to help reduce the stress you feel when you come back. I think a lot of times we feel guilty checking in with work while we're on vacation because we feel like we need to totally tune out. But the realities of our current modern era is that it's almost impossible to fully completely tune out, unless you are fortunate enough to be able to go into the redwoods and have no access to cell phones. And so that's another story. But we were in a spot where my husband was doing a little work, and we all looked over at one point, and he was sitting in his bathing suit next to a rock working on something on his cell phone and then eating Chex Mix. And it just was such a funny contradiction of experiences, because he's doing this very important, you know, business work, and then he's just munching Chex Mix. So there's something that stood out, and you think of all the things we've done in the 29 years of my daughter's life, going on vacations and places we've seen, and that's the thing that sticks out. And the reason I bring that up is because the reason we go on vacations, one is to find our own voice, to be able to hear our own thoughts, to get comfortable with who we are for a little bit, to check in with where we are, to recreate who we are and our lives, to make sure that we're living the balance that we so desire. That's one of the reasons. But also one of the most important reasons of family vacations is to build those memories, to build those shared experiences, to deepen those connections and relationships, you know, to remember who each of you are when you're not racing from activity to activity. And so it's wonderful to find out what it is that your kids remember about the trips. And I would challenge, you know, most people, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it, but I don't think that the most memorable part of vacations are 50 rides on the Matterhorn in Disneyland, right? I don't think kids are going to look back and count the times they went to Legoland as being the supreme best part of their lives. You know, I think as parents that we really, in some ways, misunderstand what a family vacation really looks like to children. You know, yeah, they'll enjoy going to an amusement park. You know, that's fun. It's kind of set up to be this whirlwind of chaos that at some point somebody always cries anyway. I mean, they're set up to be that way and it can be fun. But when we look at the long-term memories, it's not going to be that as much as the time with the family. One of my good friends just did a big family vacation to Disney World, and it was multi-generation, grandmas and the kids and siblings and cousins. It was a big, big family, once-in-a-lifetime trip. But coming back, they missed their flight. And so by, you know, weird circumstances, they couldn't get on another flight, and the next flight wasn't going to be for a few days. And so they quickly changed things around, and they rented a van and went to Target and bought, you know, some underwear and packed some snacks in a cooler and drove across country to get back. And that became the memory of a lifetime for everybody. So how is it that we can find and create these wonderful vacation memories without having to spend thousands of dollars, without having to go into debt, you know, without having to mortgage the house? How is it that we find these great ways of building family stories? And what are your family stories? You know, we cannot maintain intimacy in our relationships just by bouncing off each other every now and then during the week. We cannot develop a strong sense of ourselves unless we put ourselves in new contexts, unless we get a new perspective from time to time. And we've talked about on the show before the importance of feeling in awe. That in order to maintain good mental health and well-being, in order to deal with feelings of anxiety, feelings of depression. And I say feelings of because I think we've created a culture that has made anxiety and depression seem like a disease that visits us mysteriously like the flu. But many, many experiences of anxiety and depression are really linked to lifestyle and can be treated with lifestyle changes, that we have much more control over managing the feelings of anxiety, depression, maybe not curing them, making them go away. And to be honest, even if you're taking medications, it doesn't cure it and make it go away. It's always managing. But sometimes the best way to manage feelings of anxiety and depression is to get a new perspective, to change things up, to change the routine, and to feel in awe of something, especially if you're struggling with depression, to get yourself to a place where you just are weak in the knees in this moment, wherever that moment may be. So where do you find that moment for yourself? This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. The number to be part of our conversation is 805-781-3875. You can also find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. All of our shows are podcasted. And you can also send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And I'm excited about the upcoming summer, not only because I have a few adventures planned and I'm excited to get out there in the world and bring back some stories to you, because it's the other great thing about vacations is it gets you out someplace and you bring back new stories, fresh perspectives, things to share, novelty. You know, our brain craves novelty. We want to shake things up. Getting to this state of kind of ennui and boredom really impacts our mental health. And that novelty of being able to come back and tell a story is important. So I have a lot of things that I'm really excited to come back and share with you this summer. I also am doing a series of interviews over the summer with people that I find inspiring to help inspire all of us to try new things in our life, to push ourselves in ways that we might not push ourselves unless we heard about someone else. And one of those interviews is going to be with Chris Burkhart, who is a world-renowned surf photographer, and he also is back from recently doing a TED Talk. And so he's going to come in and talk to us about that experience. And so I'm going to do a series of interviews this summer to help just not only inspire me, but to inspire you to challenge your story that you're living today and try to see how you might change up your story a bit to enhance your quality of life. Sue, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Elizabeth. I just wanted to share something that's a positive and a really positive thing in our lives. I remarried about 28 years ago. My husband and I, he had two children and I had two children. So we were blending this family. And what we decided was that we would not give our children things, that we would once a year give them a vacation. And we've continued that for 28 years. It's the best decision we ever made. Now with grandchildren, the vacations have to be scaled down a bit because the numbers are larger. But our kids get together, and there are two on each side of the family. They love each other. They love spending time together, and they bring back memories to each other. I mean, they talk about these vacations that were 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it was something that we decided, and I think other people should think about it as well.
Well, and I love that you bring that up, Sue, because I think there's a lot of pressure on parents, especially young parents, to try to purchase everything for their kids, you know, cell phones and devices and clothing. There's a pressure to keep up. And I think if more parents talked about, you know, gave each other permission, hey, we didn't buy our kids a bunch of stuff, we chose this. If we all talked more about those decisions, maybe we could drown out a little bit the pressure of the cultural noise.
No, I agree with that. So it was cell phones come and go, and computers die, and new ones come in their place. But the vacation and the memories don't. We've done rafting, we've done horseback riding, and we climb mountains, and it's been very active, and it's kept us active as well. We all love kayaking and going to places where we can do these things together and laugh and play.
Absolutely.
And I don't think our children would change it for anything.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sue, for calling and reminding us the importance of play, because there is that part of vacationing where we do play, that we laugh with each other, that we, you know, develop those inside jokes, you know, those great things that you can look back on, and just your family has experienced it, and that becomes the thing that bonds you. It becomes the thing that sets your family apart. You know, one of the great indicators of resilience in children, especially as our kids grow into adolescence and young adulthood, one of the greatest predictors of resilience is having a sense of family identity. That children who really have a strong sense of where they've come from, who their family is, rituals and routines and traditions their family has, the stronger a sense of identity our teens have, the better they do when faced with peer pressure decisions or life decisions. And so if you're thinking about how do I afford this or how do I make this happen, you know, we think about our responsibilities in the world, it's in creating an environment for our family to to grow and thrive as best we can, whether we have young children or older children or grandchildren or friends. You know, really our job on the planet as humans is to look out for each other, to care for each other. And so all of the stuff in the world is not going to replace that time where we take a road trip to visit family and friends. You know, as much as riding in the middle and having to ride the hump can be terrible for the middle child, doing these trips, visiting family and friends, building these connections, these memories are what make the human experience valuable. Julian, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
I'm currently on vacation right now. I'm going on a cross-country drive, and I just happened to be driving through and tuned into your radio station at the perfect time. And I'm on my own vacation.
What inspired this?
I just haven't seen a lot of my friends from college. We just, you know, split our own ways, and I have a friend that lives in Palo Alto, which I haven't seen in a couple of years, and I'm coming in from Knoxville, Tennessee, so, you know, I've drove, 62 hours right now. I'm right in the middle of this drive, and I'm up going up Highway 1 about to go see him for the first time in a few years.
Good for you. And I have to tell you, I am a Knoxville freak. I love Knoxville.
Nice. Yeah, it's an awesome town.
It is. It's a great place to be from. Are you a Vol, or where did you graduate from?
Private college or private university about 20 miles away from Knoxville called Carson Newman. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like I said, I'm in the middle of this vacation. You know, I saw the Grand Canyon for the first time a few days ago. Went to, just all these awesome places and, you know, hung out with a lot of friends I haven't seen in multiple years.
So what do you feel you're going to gain from this experience when all is said and done?
A sense of, I guess chasing that sense of adventure that I haven't, you know, had in a while. And, you know, just the sense of, you know, we're going to get to I'm just getting to see all my friends that I haven't seen in forever. That sense of camaraderie that, you know, we haven't had in, you know, several years. And, you know, just to see a bunch of new stuff. Like, I mean, up until last Wednesday, I haven't been west of Nashville ever in my life. So this is a whole new thing for me.
I'm afraid your brain's going to explode. There's so many great things along the way.
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. So I have a friend that goes to Oklahoma State University. He's working on his master's degree. I stayed the night with him, and there, 10 miles away from where we were at, there was a tornado, and I just happened to be there at that perfect time. So, you know, just that crazy sense of adventure and all these things can happen. You know, I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean. I haven't seen this ever in my life, and I'm driving up Highway 1 looking to this on my left, and it's just awesome.
I love your energy. I feel like I just want to keep you on the phone so I can feel the excitement and energy that you're experiencing, and I hope you're going to get over to Yosemite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I plan on going there, and I'm going to be driving through the Redwoods here in a few days and going up to Glacier National Park and Yellowstone and, you know, going to see Mount Rushmore along the trip. And, yeah, it's good. So to anybody that's listening, I suggest, you know, you have the means to do it. You know, save up as much as you can and go see America if you've never seen it because, you know, you only get one time on this planet, and you got to use it wisely.
Julian, that is very wise. I'm proud of you. Drive carefully. Keep your hands on your wheel.
Absolutely. No, I'm using my cell phone or my car speakerphone. So, yes. But thank you for letting me talk to you.
Have a great trip, sweetheart. Enjoy your journey.
You have an excellent day. Bye.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Okay, I'm grinning so much I can hardly stand it because that's life, right? What else really could be more important than feeling that you're part of something bigger than yourself, that you have that sense of awe. Julian's whole being right now is in this state of awe. And if you wanted to ward off anxiety and depression and loneliness and boredom, that's the sound of getting in touch with and recreating that sense of wholeness that we all long for. So am I nudging you yet? Are you thinking about planning that trip? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do to bring novelty to your life this summer? What are you going to do to change things up? And again, it doesn't have to cost a fortune. I talked briefly about this program called Woofing, W-O-O-F. Jordan might have to check that for me so I make sure I have the right... acronym for looking it up, but this Willing Work on Organic Farms, it's been around since 1976. And just know that, you know, it's very popular with people from Europe and Australia because they have mandatory at least 20 days paid vacation every year, opportunities to go on holiday, the benefits of holiday and bringing new perspective and gaining cultural awareness, feeling that sense of awe, relieving the stress are all essential. And so this program is available all around the world. You decide where you want to go. And again, it's all over the United States. And you pay, I think, $30 to gain access to all of the sites in the area you're going to visit. You send them an email and say, hey, I'm going to be in your area. Do you have space? And then you stay between 2 days, 2 weeks, and 6 months. Was I right, Jordan?
Yes. Well, there are two W's in woofing.
Okay. But- Yes. W-W-O-O-F. Yeah. And so where are you going to go woofing, Jordan?
Oh, wow. I have no clue yet. I haven't even thought about that far in advance. I'm more on the same page there with Julie in the sense that I really like driving road trips and things like that. And I would like to do another road trip throughout the United States again before I probably go international because that's quite a I feel like that's more manageable for me at mm-hmm. this point.
Well, and again, anything that kind of changes it up. And what's your fondest childhood family vacation?
Oh, well, in topic, it was a road trip. I was like, it was like 1996, so I was pretty little. and we were driving to Wisconsin for a family reunion. Some of my mom's cousins live there, and we I have three siblings, so we definitely couldn't afford six plane tickets. And so we're like, well, let's drive there. And one night there was a massive like biker, like Harley Davidson convention, and we couldn't find anywhere to sleep, and we all needed to sleep. And so we eventually my whole family just slept in our car one night, and I just thought it was like the biggest deal ever. And it was really cool. And my parents didn't sleep at all.
No,
they slept in the front in their seats, and then we all slept in the back of the car, which was funny. And then my little sister, she's very phasey, which isn't a very nice thing to say, but she wanted to be a biker after that, and so my mom bought her a leather vest, or like a faux leather vest, and a bandana with teapots on it.
Nice. She was influenced by this family trip.
Oh, she thought it was great.
Probably not the way your parents hoped.
Well, the teapot bandana was cute, so...
So I'm curious to know, what are your favorite family vacation memories? And what is it about vacations? Do you look forward to them? Do you dread them? You know, we've run the gamut today. There's a lot of stress that goes into putting together the plan for vacations. But there's a lot of stress that we're going to experience if we don't allow ourselves to go on these vacations. And, you know, when I was prepping for the show and thinking about it, of course, last night I tuned in to John Oliver's new show, if you haven't seen it, HBO, Last Week Tonight, and he did a whole segment on paid maternal leave. And I was thinking about how that ties into the whole idea of vacationing and taking care of our mental health and well-being, and how only one other country besides the United States does not provide paid family leave when a child is born. And watch the segment if you just want to be horrified and saddened. As a mother, I cannot believe that we would be so backward in allowing people time to build and nurture their family relationships, especially in something as fundamental as bringing home a baby. And if you know anything about attachment and brain development, that period of time when babies bond with their parents, you'd never get that back. It's essential. And we are a culture, again, we are a culture that sadly continues to be disappointing when it comes to the care of mental health and well-being. You know, we cannot continue to say we care about families, we care about maintaining good mental health, we worry about, you know, our anxiety levels and depression levels and stress and physical health. We can't be a country that keeps saying that. We can't keep allowing those in power, those who are creating legislation, to use words empty to use empty words to describe what it is they believe in when we have no policies that absolutely in any way support the mental health and well-being of our culture, of our nation. We don't have paid vacation for 25% of our workforce. Those who do have paid vacation are frightened and concerned about taking the vacation because they might lose their job. They might, you know, come back and have too much to do, get too far behind. We have people that don't want to go on vacation because it's too expensive. It's very stressful. We then have, at the same token, talk about how important parents are and how important mothering is, how important it is to care for children and for families. And then we have no paid parental leave guaranteed. We have no guarantee that anyone is going to be able to take care of and support their family in the most basic of ways. So what do we do about that? You know, one of the reasons that we must take vacations, whether you get on a plane or a train or in your car, or if you stay home and lay in your backyard with a glass of orange juice or a margarita and watch the sun come up and down, is that if unless we carve out time to think and to feel and to be, we'll never find that energy or outrage to fight or change those things that are not in our well-being. You know, one of our earlier callers today, I think it was Mary, who talked about, you know, working three jobs for 15 years because she thought, you know, that's what I need to do to get ahead. And then finds out 15 years later that her health has deteriorated, that she feels disappointed and let down because things have not worked out and she really needs that time away. You know, don't be fooled. Nobody's going to call you up and say, hey, you know, you need to take a vacation. No one's going to come to your house and say, I'll feed your cats for you, or, you know, clean your yard while you're gone, so go on a vacation. You know, that's not going to happen. If you're waiting for permission, it's not going to happen because we're a culture that's all about doing. The message is about doing and doing and doing so that you can acquire things and things and things that require you to maintain them. You know, how much time do you spend servicing all of your equipment? You know, how do you get time away to just be alone with your thoughts if you're spending, you know, a couple times a month waiting for the service for the repairman of your washing machine? Or going into the Apple store, or, you know, having to get your computer debugged. I mean, we are captive in the noise of our culture. And so aside from me, who's telling you right now, go look at some way to carve out time for yourself and for your family and for your relationships. Because if you don't do it, by the time you wake up and realize, oh, wait, I wanted to see the United States with my kids. I wanted to show my children the Grand Canyon. I wanted to walk hand in hand with my husband on the beach. But now the kids have grown, or my relationship with my husband has gotten really disconnected, or I feel too overwhelmed to even plan a trip. By the time you get to that place where you realize you need to do it, it's going to be too late. Going on vacations, getting in the routine of carving time away, is a discipline like anything else. You get better at it the more you do it. And it doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be lofty. It doesn't have to be to Europe. It can be simple and small. You know, my husband's dream vacation is strapping on his backpack and walking out our front door and just walking. He looks out at the horizon a lot. He goes, I just want to walk and see how far I can go just from out my own front door, see where I end up. I guess he must be part Aboriginal or something, a little walkabout inside of him. But think about it. You don't get this time back. And no matter how busy you think you are, stepping away is, you know, not going to make you less busy or more busy. The busy will fill in the gaps. So it's your choice. Family vacation, personal vacation, mental vacation. What's it going to look like? I'm looking forward to a couple big adventures. And one of them is going to be going back east with my husband. And we're going to drive back from the East Coast to Texas and then fly from Texas home because we haven't seen that part of the United States. So I'm really excited to do that adventure. And then I'm going to do a couple small things with my family. I'm going to take a road trip with my daughter, Kelly, up to Ashland, Oregon, just the two of us, because I want to hear what she has to say when I get her away from her friends and her noises and her distractions. I'm going to spend some time alone with my older daughter and her husband at their new house, helping them fix it up. We have to carve the time because no one's going to give it to us. And this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you'd like to be part of this program off the air, you can find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, my website, thereluctanttherapist.com, and email to me, elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can always listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. As always, I appreciate your supporting this program, this conversation, and I hope you'll join us again next week for an inspiring, what I hope will be an inspiring interview. And until then, I encourage you to find time to breathe, find time to get in touch with your own thoughts, to enjoy your quality of life. And thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX.